There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spurs Day Thursday podcast. Hello, Phil. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome back to you as well.
I was going to say welcome to you. No one ever welcomes you, do they?
No, do they?
But here you are every other day or whatever, or it seems to be anyway.
Yeah, I know. Appreciating me. Thank you, mate. Thanks. You can blame John Bass, basically. I was trying to do the studio show, as I call it, this week, but his work keeps getting him back, so I haven't been doing it. But, you know, people just like listening to me rant after games and seem to like listening to us witter on a Thursday, mate. So, you know, it's all good, isn't it? It's all good.
It is. Good for them. Glad they enjoy it, whoever they are.
I'll tell you what isn't good, though, is the announcement that went out this week that Tottenham Hotspur are putting up season ticket prices by 6%. I'll give you how the club broke this news. Obviously, they had a bit of a waffle at the start saying, you know, thanks very much for your great support, blah, 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 blah. And then it got to the serious bit, which was, football is not immune to the rising costs of goods and services across the board. And we continue to look at all options to minimise ticket price increases whilst absorbing the vast majority of costs. In the 5 years since the stadium opened in April 2019, there has only been one season ticket price increase of 1.5%. There has, however, been a significant increase in matchday costs outside of our control, such as utilities, rates and consumables, along with the need to continue to operate on a sustainable basis. For 24-25, season ticket prices will increase by 6%. And then they've gone on to a lot of other waffle about kind of financing options and such. So essentially, Spurs, one of the richest sporting entities on the face of the planet, are pulling the SOZ cost of living crisis card on fans. I guess somewhat tone deaf in the respect that all of said fans are subject to the same cost of living crisis. Look, this is a big topic. This is basically what we're going to be talking about today, mate. Just off the bat, what's your kind of feeling on this as a sort of top line?
As you say, tone deaf. I think that I've said it on here before that I go to fewer games now. If I'm going to go, then I tend to take someone's spare ticket rather than stomach going on to like the ticket exchange or buying because I'm a member, buying it from there, just because whenever I see it's like 69 quid or something, again, it's not that I can't afford it. I can afford it, but I can't. I just feel like I shouldn't be paying that for Spurs, or I shouldn't be paying that for this. So,
what was Palace, mate? It was like 65.
I mean, you can get off. There's cheaper ones in there, obviously, but it was just the fact that it wasn't a particularly like rich seat. But again, no matter where you're sitting in the stadium, given there's 60,000 other people for you, 60 quid, 70 quid even for a ticket to see Palace. I don't know. It just doesn't. I just haven't been able to kind of get my head around it. And I haven't sort of been on a massive tirade or campaign about it. But just for me personally, I'm like, it just doesn't feel right. So I've kind of, quietly just not done it.
It's exactly where I am, mate. Like, and, you know, we've obviously spoken about this off air, but my stance of not really going to games anymore is largely a principled one. I have hit this point now where we've had these conversations for years. I think it first irritated me really when we'd just gone through Wembley, and I don't believe I'm inventing things when I say the club always maintained a line that we were going to be building a bigger stadium in order to keep ticket prices down for fans. Mm. And we jumped from Wembley into the new ground and had this totally new pricing structure, which was just obscene. It was obscene and it is obscene. They can say that it's only been a 1.5% increase, but it's a 1.5% increase on the obscene tariff that they put in place in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of thing that you can go on about week in, week out. And yeah, maybe I should make more of a big deal about it. And but at the end of the day, I'm not here to protest Tottenham's ticket pricing. You know, I'm here to try and enjoy the sport as best I can. And I've reconciled that really I'm probably only going to be going to cup games where I think they are priced fairly. And mm-hmm. probably European games, because I particularly enjoy European fixtures. So those are the kind of ones I can notch off. But with this now, it's everything, isn't it? I think the problem with this is it's every single facet of society. I sent you that thing yesterday about a guy who had, he'd gotten a fine. No, I think he was trying to get a refund on a train ticket that was £9.50. And the admin fee to get the refund was £7. And I just sort of put to you, how much longer are people going to take this? How much longer can people continue to take the increasing cost of everything? You know, because wages ain't going up, you know, across the board, yet everything else is. And it seems to be that it's us, the people, that have to continue to swallow these costs, right?
Yeah, and it does certainly feel like it's ramped up over the last few years, hasn't it? I mean, I always kind of think back to being when I was commuting before, like the pandemic, where it was getting like, you know, I commuted for 15 years or so. Yeah. And towards the end of that run, it was getting dangerous in terms of how bad the trains were, how bad being packed onto trains were. And the costs were going up. And I was like, this is, how is this viable? How is this allowed to happen? How is this okay? And now it just, that seems to be in every facet of life. And as you say, it's hard to therefore kind of remove Spurs from it. It's the same thing with, like, you know, not to kind of go too far off book here, but looking at British Gas's profits after all what we've gone through, we're just getting completely rinsed everywhere. Yep. And you're right. Why, when something like, you can't, if you need to get the train, you're going to have to pay for it. You need heating and electricity in your home, so you're going to have to pay for it. I don't have to go to Spurs, so I'm not going to. And yeah, as you say, it's just being raked, isn't it? A hand in your pocket all the time with everything. And I think it just seems to be the way of the world. And you're right. Like, as I said, when it's everything, and as you know, your example of that train refund, it's just getting to the point now where people are going to be, I don't know. I don't think people are going to rise up over anything, but it does feel like it's just a completely, we're being pressed from every angle, right?
I do feel like things are getting to a bit of a tipping point. You look at basically everyone I know who's got a mortgage, their mortgage has gone up massively because the interest rates and whatever. Everyone's rent is going up. I know my rent, my landlady wants to slap a load more on our rent this year, and we're kind of deciding whether to move or to stay. You know, it's all kind of coming at the same time. And I get it, right? COVID's happened and all that type of thing, and we knew there was going to be a kickback from that at some point down the line. But it's when you do have these institutions, like you say, like a massive football club like Tottenham Hotspur, British Gas, whoever, that try to plead poverty to us, to the people, to say, well, we can't do anything about this. As you've said on here many a time, mate, on this pod, we're paying for that fucking stadium. Enoch aren't, and they haven't at any point. Like, so this kind of idea that, we, Enoch, are having to absorb the costs. No, you're fucking not. You're putting on gigs. You've got all this kind of, what is it, the additional revenue outside of match days that I think is great, that I stick up for, that when the purple and gold types are like, well, fucking, why are we putting gigs on? Well, why wouldn't you? Like, why would we have a massive stadium sat there empty for more than half a year? Like, it makes sense. It makes total sense. especially within the realm that we're continually told this is all for the good of the club. This is all for the good of, you know, keeping the lights on, making sure the supporters can buy tickets. But when you get to these points, and it just feels ridiculous. As you can imagine, the Tottenham Hotspur supporters trust are not happy about this. They've put out their own statement, with the top line being, we oppose any season ticket increase and the removal or reduction of senior concessions, both of which are also opposed by the fan advisory board. They essentially say, yeah, we remain hugely disappointed to see the tickets have increased by 6%. In our opinion, the justification doesn't hold water. The club says that the number of senior concession season tickets has risen to almost four times the number at White Hart Lane, and says the increase is not sustainable. We say these changes pull the rug out from under the feet of pensioners after years of loyal support. Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust official believes a fuller discussion at the beginning of this process with the club would have led to more effective input and the increased prospect of an outcome with wider support. I mean, I think that's probably an optimistic take on the subject from the trust. And you can imagine, like, the trust pretty much got their hands tied in what they can do with regard to this. But I think let's go through some different sort of scenarios with this, because there's various different talking points I've seen about this topic, mate. And the one I put forward to, you know, a mutual friend of ours who was kind of, you know, going on about the club and the way in which they've done this and how disgraceful it is, in a sort of devil's advocate way, because I agree entirely with it. I do. I mean, I've said, I've prefaced this whole podcast with my personal opinion on this, but just for the interest of kind of, you know, as we say, devil's avocadoing this, there's that part of me that does think, okay, let's take a step back and let's realize what the number one, what the Premier League is now, because the Premier League has always been pretty big, but let's say, really, in the past decade, I think it has gone up to, you know, it's gone up to level 11, right? In terms of the global interest, the cost of the product, if you like, how big it is. It's football now, you know, it's watched by everyone around the world. There's people, there's fans coming from all across the world to watch Premier League games. We've always heard stories in the NFL of how much NFL tickets cost to go to because they are so sought after. We're probably now in a position, I'd say we're almost definitely in a position now, where Premier League tickets for, say, half the league are similar. They're similarly in demand for all of the London clubs, for the big sort of Manchester clubs, for Liverpool and such. And so when we consider that Tottenham are really in the elite bracket of the most elite club of the most watched sport around the world, is it now that football isn't, because we look at this as in, we have the kind of the, not the mythology, but the sentiment around football that this is our life and soul, this is the supporters that make this is, you know, it's important for the local area that there's a football club. And that is true for many levels of the footballing pyramid and for many clubs even within the Premier League now. Look at Luton, for example. But clubs like Tottenham, Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, these are kind of sporting institutions now where the matches that they play, every single match that they play pretty much, especially in the Premier League, is an event. It's not even really, it's almost trans, I know this sounds a bit sort of metaphysical and somewhat pretentious, but it's almost transcended just a mere football match, if you know what I mean. You're buying a ticket to go and watch Spurs in London. It's almost a different proposition now. We want to be a massive, huge global club. this is all part of it, isn't it? This is the kind of the grim reality of what we've jumped into bed with our clamoring to be one of the best clubs in the country, to be one of the best clubs in Europe. The reality is this. This is what we have to face. I went on a stag do to Barcelona 15 years ago. Me and all my mates probably spent 100 euros on tickets, sat there pissed, didn't know any Barcelona songs, were probably being quite obnoxious, but we were surrounded by other tourists, other people who had probably spent £100 on tickets, whilst there was a little pocket in Barca State, in the Nou Camp, the massive Nou Camp, there was a little pocket that was very vocal, that was clearly where all the Barca fans were sat. For the most part, almost half the stadium was just full of people like us, day trippers. Isn't that kind of what the proposition is now for Spurs? I realise I've said a lot there, but have you followed my kind of thread to this point?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It's essentially been taken away from what we signed up for initially. And I don't sort of say that as a, I mean, that's obviously sad, but I kind of just say that as a observation more than bemoaning the fact. It's not, as you say, what 80% of the teams in the football pyramid, it does mean something to them that where their club is, that it's part of the, you know, the local community and all that sort of thing. That's not the case in the Premier League, and certainly not the, you know, the certain clubs in the top part of the Premier League. It's almost, I don't want to sound like admitting defeat with it, but it's almost the best way to deal with it is to accept that it's not the thing that you grew up watching. It's not the, I'm a fan, I've been here for decades. That it is, unfortunately, and it's not through any fault of ours, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, it's not really relevant anymore. And that's kind of slowly been happening. And I know this sounds like quite a big sort of point to make over the, you know, a 6% increase because we've got a massive stadium. But look, it's the product, well, the fact that we're even calling it a product, the fact that we even use these terms, that it's a global event, it's all these sorts of things. It's supposed to be like a competitive sporting match, and it hasn't been that for decades, has it really? So that's kind of where we are at it. Is it right that therefore the club is passing costs onto the fans? No, but from a business point, they'll say, well, if you want to buy the product, this is how much it costs. And that's sad, but that's unfortunately, I think, the reality of it now. It is just not this kind of muddy boots thing that we all sort of watched in the sort of late 80s, early 90s or whatever.
Brown pitches and, you know, faded lines and that type of thing, right?
Yeah, and that was shite anyway.
I mean, because there is an argument in there as well. Again, it's not in defense of the club. It's just saying it like it is, in that everyone's having a big sort of, you know, I don't want to say moan about it because that almost makes it seem like we're being irrational, but people are complaining about it right now. But the majority of people are going to swallow it and they're going to pay it. And that's when one would argue, well, that's why the club can continue to do what they're doing, because they know that the stadium's going to be full next season. If Ange Postecoglou carries on managing the club, yeah, all right, we've stuttered a bit for a little while, but the trend is upward right now. We're signing new players. We've got a young squad. If we keep capturing the imagination, keep people excited, people are going to sell out the stadium. It's going to sell out every single match day. And
yeah,
that's the bottom line of business, isn't it? Supply and demand.
It's the crux of it. The fact that the stadium is full means that the tickets are fairly priced, right? From a business. That's what the business managers at the club will look at. They'll say, well, if they're starting to be empty seats, then maybe we'd have to drop the ticket prices, but we're not. If anything, we're still oversubscribed, so we can increase the profit. And you can argue that's not what football should be. Again, it shouldn't be, because it's supposed to be a sport, but that's just where we've got to. It's just where we've got to. And it's not sudden either. It's not since the pandemic or anything like this, or since Russia invaded Ukraine or anything like this. It's been happening for years and years and years. Yeah. Probably since, you know, since the Premier League came in, since 92. So, I mean, I don't really know what's to be done. I mean, the thing is, people will vote with their feet, and the feet are going into the stadium. So, it feels like I'm let.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's, as I say, look, I don't go anymore. Well, rarely anyway, or less than I used to. Does that make any impact at all? No. If everyone started doing that, yeah, it would, but that's not going to happen. And it'd be pretty concerning if that happened as well, right? Because suddenly we started losing revenue and then we'd be dropping. I think what this comes down to, the fact, is that Spurs better start winning something soon, because the justification for this, you know, this is all pushing the club in the right direction to get where we want to be. And again, we've said this many, many times. There's no excuses. I mean, again, all right, fine, that there are some excuses, because there's still clubs that can massively overinflate things. And that's kind of where we are in the position we are in, because teams have had, or clubs have had to do certain things to even get anywhere close to what City and Chelsea have done in terms of what they can bring in. I know that financial fair play looks like it may be changing things now. But even if Spurs don't win anything, people will still go, because it's a, you know, as I say, it's one of the best stadiums in the world. It's one of the best days out in the world. If you're a sports fan and you're in London, you can get a ticket. As you say, it's day trippers, and I don't think there's anything to be done for it. It's just that's the way of the world. And if you don't like it, turn your season ticket in, I think.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But this is where the club will, because you touched on it there, this is where the club will potentially do itself over with this type of aggressive pricing, with this type of aggressive, and really, let's be honest, because for as much as I will put it in this cold sense, that's what it is. It's a cold logic. It's a cold mentality. It's a lack of sentiment there. You can't put on all these kind of, let's tug on the heartstrings, VTs and stuff at the start of each match and expect that to continue to carry weight with people, right? We are Tottenham, we are this, we're the, you know, the chip, the 50-yard free kick, all that type of thing. It's because that kind of, that connection with the club gets lost. The more and more you do this, the more and more that you make this less of a relationship. Because I've seen some people say, and it's dodgy territory, because I think right now there's, I'm going to use the word problematic, sorry, Claxon, but there's a problematic,
get your bingo cards out,
narrative around tourists, namely South Korean, you know, fans coming to the ground, which is just an easy, boring, let's be honest, racist target to, you know, focus your ire on, when these are fans who are, whether they're coming to watch Sonny or whether they're coming to watch Spurs, who cares? You know, they're fans, they're people that have gone to across the world to come and enjoy watching football. That's what football's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about joy and entertainment, you know? And about half the people who are moaning about it have done exactly what I've done, in terms of they've gone to Barcelona, got up and pissed up and sat in a Nou Camp and not cheered on. So, you know, like, everyone's a fucking hypocrite. Do you know what I mean? But there is some sort of, I guess, an idea that Spurs are maybe hoping to reduce. Right now, I think we've got about 60% of the stadium as season ticket holders. I think I've seen this as a figure flying around on Twitter. And they want to maybe, hopefully, bring down the number of season ticket holders in order to have more people who come for the day, who are more likely to get there a couple of hours before, do a stadium tour, go to the shop, spend all pre-match eating and drinking inside the stadium, making it an entire 360 experience, if you like, versus, you know, Bob and Dave, who have been coming for 20 years, who, you know, drink at the Antwerp Arms and come in 5 minutes into the game, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really think the club will be actively looking to reduce the amount of season ticket holders it has. To me, it lies more in people will pay it, so we're just going to make them more expensive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I can see why the club, again, from the cold business side of it, I can see why the club would want to reduce that. Because as you say, I think that's a good example of many season ticket holders. And again, it's not criticism. Like, why you wouldn't go and spend 80 quid in the club shop every time you go. You might do that if it's, you know, as you say, you're going to the Nou Camp once, but you wouldn't do that if you're going every week because you'd be pretty mad. And I'm not calling out Charlie Parrish here or anything, but you know what I mean? It's just, so yeah, I could see them doing that. Which again, it's just another sign that things aren't what we said it was. You look, we had a season with no fans in the stadiums. As soon as that went ahead, you knew that, you know, we're actually lesser thought than we thought we were before that. So it's no real surprise to me that this is continuing to happen. And, you know, the squeeze just continues. We've got nothing else to talk about. It's so depressing.
It just, I mean, that's it, isn't it, really? I mean, I'm always going to love Spurs. I'm cursed with this now, if you like, you know.
Yeah.
That whole sort of love them or hate them type thing for me sins, but it's always going to be there for me. I've this is why I've always had that conflicted. Even if we did get some horrific owner, you know, like people talk about with Newcastle with the ownership. You kind of can't take that out on the fans because the fans are, yeah, okay, there's ways in which to vocalise your support and maybe giving your owners a complete pass and turning up outside St James's Park with a tea towel on your head isn't the best way of, you know, kind of just keeping your nut down and saying, well, I'm going to carry on supporting my club because that's what it is. And
it's my club, not theirs, sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's what it would be with Spurs, you know, and even with this, it is just with Spurs. And I think this changing stadiums, like leaving the old White Hart Lane, in some ways has made it an easier decision for me to, and whatever, you know, I've sort of said I'm not that big on the match day experience at the new stadium, but it's not even about that. It's just that because the new stadium is new, because I had such a great time in the old ground, being there, I wasn't there for the United game, but I was there for the North London Derby. I think that was the last game I went to at the old ground. And it felt like a nice goodbye to it. It felt like a nice goodbye to that sort of chapter in my life. And it's not to say I'm never going to go to the new ground again, but I don't think I'm ever going to build that type of connection with it that I had with the old ground, the old memories that I had in that place. And it was just a very formative time of my life, you know, from being a child to being in my sort of, you know, mid to late 20s, if you like, until it went. And I don't think I'll have that with New Ground. So it does in some ways make it easier for me to take that step away from going to games and just being somewhat more cold about it. As in, like, well, I'm not going to be beholden to outrageous ticket prices all the time. I'll support Spurs in my own way. The thing is, I don't feel this whole thing. You'll get other fans that will say, I get it sometimes after, you know, I do my pod and stuff. It's more important to you to do a pod and you don't ever go to games and stuff. It's like, it doesn't really affect me. It doesn't really bother me because I know in my heart, that I'll always be fucking looking out for Spurs. Any bit of news, whenever there's a game on, I'll find any way I can in order to watch it, even if I'm having to find a crap stream on Twitter or whatever. And I know how much it will mean to me if I see Spurs win something. So I'm never, ever going to get rid of them. It's never going to happen. But I've just sort of managed to reconcile the way in which I follow this club. It just has to change. It has to change. And it has had to change because I simply can't. I can't justify spending, on the whole day, ticket and the travel, beer, food, all that, probably close to £120-150 for a match day going to Tottenham. I just can't do it. And it's sad that football fans, not boo-hoo for me, but for everyone, for all football fans in general, for a, let's be honest, historically working class game, I'm sorry to take it to this place, but it's the fact of the matter, isn't it? A historically working class game is now almost inaccessible to working class people. And it's a bigger issue than just Spurs. Spurs are playing their part in this and always tend to, whenever you hear matters of Premier League clubs and chairmen all bandying together to decide. For example, I believe the only opposition to the price cap on away tickets was from Tottenham Hotspur, was from Daniel Levy. So, you know, we don't shower ourselves in glory in that kind of respect. But football in general, especially in this country now, it's a total luxury now. It's a total luxury. And one would suggest that if you did want to have that kind of I can smell the grass, I can have a grubby burger from the van type experience, you've just got to try and follow your local team or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to go up to wherever, you know, go and watch Kingstonian, go and watch, you know, Wingate and what are they called? Wingate and Finchley, isn't it? I can't remember. Just that, because that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, it's not about football, is it? It's about Tottenham. It's about that word that rings in your mind when you hear it. That the pain that you feel, you know, you hear the words Tottenham Hotspur, and you're both proud and pained by it. It's about that. You can't replace that just by going to Dog's Dick FC or whatever, you know.
You really can't. I've tried to.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you were saying about being, you know, you're too enthralled in it, and you know, all this kind of thing about being a true fan, you know, because if you don't go or you do go or you whatever, it's not about that. Again, it's about how much pain you feel. that's the mark of a true fan. If you're pained by when Spurs fuck something up or Arsenal do something properly, you don't need any other badge of honour than that. If it hurts you, then you're a true fan. If you can just shake it off and be like, oh, never mind, you know, whatever, I'll go to the rugby club tomorrow or whatever, then maybe not. But if it devastates you, then that's the litmus test for me.
If you had a good at least 2 years of utter agony after that Champions League final, I think you can consider yourself a Spurs fan, right?
Yeah. If you didn't lay awake at night trying to rack your brains about how you extricate yourself from being a football fan or being a Tottenham fan, that's a sign that you're a true Spurs fan. Nothing else.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it, mate?
It's not new, is it? It's not new. I think that's why the price increases have come now, because kind of just used to it. I mean, the fact, listening to myself speak here, it just sounds like I'm just resigned to it and I've just kind of given up. But, you know, unless there's a massive shake-up in terms of how football is regulated in the country, you know, if it's given back to the fans, which is impossible, and the product would be much worse anyway. But, you know, it's not the thing that we grew up thinking it was, and it was never going to stay that way, and it hasn't. You know, you can talk about Man City and Chelsea to a point, but I'd wager, actually, and not really to point fingers, but it's more about the kind of American money that's been attracted to football, that's really kind of changed the way football is the product. Yeah. It's become a product. It's become sort of managed in a way that is, you know, more akin to the NFL or the NBA. And, you know, that's probably the bigger marker in anything.
The saddest thing about it for me is, and the thing that continues to just frustrate me, is that really the strength of you'll have people like Florentino Perez and the like that will say, try and again plead poverty, oh, we can't compete with the Premier League, all this type of thing. And it's only latterly that the Premier League is this kind of behemoth that we see that it is now.
Mm.
It's kind of in part down to the likes of Chelsea, the likes of Manchester City, the kind of, you know, the outside investment coming in that's really warped the game, really warped the landscape that it is. But for large parts of my childhood and for my youth, teenage years and the like, Premier League, English football was a second tier league. You know, we were always looking up to the Italians and the Spanish for a long, long time. And the Premier League, yeah, like I say, there has been an influx of foreign investment. And to be honest, I'm not fully versed in the, you know, the business machinations or whatever pieces of legislation I'm sure have been drafted in, you know, Parliament or the like to allow the Premier League to grow in the way in which it's done, whatever tax benefits or tax cuts and such. Still at the heart of the growth of the Premier League is the utter obsession with football in this country from the fans, from us, from the people that put our hands in our pocket and pay to go and watch games and make our clubs great, build them up to being owners. Owners are half of the battle, right? Yeah, of course they are. Having an owner that's got money, having an owner that will spend money, but still the objective is to make a club attractive, to make a club attractive for fans, for people to come in, for people to come in and watch the games, to create an atmosphere, to buoy the team on. And in part, you know, a large part of the success of football in this country is down to fans. It's down to people who are just, you know, this country is obsessed with football. It's absolutely mad with it. We always talk about, like, the thing is, we're always kind of in this like fanciful way go, oh, you know, look at Brazil, look at the Argentinians, they love football. We love it just as much. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure plenty of countries around the world would look at England and say they are mental. Like, they are absolutely mad obsessed with football. It's not cricket and rugby and all that type of thing anymore, the sort of stereotypical posho stuff. It's football. And having now built the league to a great place, to a place where talent isn't routinely poached by, say, like, you know, Spanish clubs or Italian clubs and the like, it's almost like the fans don't get to enjoy it anymore. It's been taken away from them. It's like, oh, thanks for playing your part in that. And now we'll take that away from you. I mean, I don't want to... I know for a fact, I will say in my own professional experience, I have been in discussions with clubs in terms of their trajected plans, where they are in no uncertain terms talking about the true fans that they need to keep engaged, that they need to keep as a revenue stream, and then working out at what point in that journey can they start to alienate the true fans for new fans. Like, it's not tinfoil hat. This stuff is, it's deliberate. It is. And we're starting to feel it now as Tottenham fans. And
yeah. Shit. I mean, if you don't do anything to attract new fans, the fact that, you know, fandom, all right, gets passed down through family generations and whatever, but you do need young fans coming in through the door as well. So maybe not necessarily new fans, but still people who are younger so that they can be fans for longer. I mean, that's just that's kind of the natural churn, isn't it? But it's just the game's gone, mate.
Ultimately, that's it, isn't it?
It's just it. The game is gone. It's unfortunate, but we kind of gave it away as well a bit, to be fair. You know,
because we want big signings. We want to win the Champions League. We want to win the Premier League. You know, it's the old, isn't it? Jump into bed with the devil and don't be surprised when he, you know, jabs you with a poker. It's
yeah, yeah. And exactly. And speaking of which, if you think back to Spurs' history with all this, the only reason Alan Sugar took over Tottenham was because he, being the owner of Amstrad, meant that he would have a vote for the Sky deal, which meant that he, as Amstrad boss, would be able to provide the satellite dishes. So the fact that Tottenham exists now, because, you know, we were at risk of going bust before he came and bought us, the only reason we exist is so that football could become this thing. So we are a vessel for the current state of the game, where it's just been taken away from us. Would it have been better if Spurs had just collapsed in whenever it was, 1990?
Or the answer around is yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. It just would have made it so, the last 30 years would have been so much easier.
Oh, I think we can leave that one there, mate, because, yeah, it's an exhaustive topic, and I think
it is.
I can feel myself going around in loops on it, but until we get the guillotines out, none of this is going to change, mate. So
that's, you know, basically eat the rich.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.